stars placed in the sky by one God.
One God. Millions of men lift up their eyes to one God.
One God. So many children calling on him by many a different name. Many the ways all of us pray to one God.
One God. Many the paths winding their ways to one God.
One God. Walk with me, brother, there were no strangers after his work was done. For your God.
One of the most pleasurable duties which has fallen to my lot each Sunday morning for the past 3 years is to extend a welcome to worshipers in Metropolitan Community Church, Los Angeles. Whether we were meeting in the Women's Club, the Embassy Auditorium, the Encore Theater, or in our own gracious old church. So it's fitting and joyful for me to introduce this album and to welcome you. In our San Diego church, there are a number of joyous banners suspended from the ceiling, several of which come to mind. Of course, there is the MCC banner which proclaims, "We're not afraid anymore." There is another which states, "One shepherd, one flock." But my favorite proclaims, "Jesus came singing love. He lived singing love. He died singing love. He arose in silence." If the song is to continue, we must do the singing. Through the medium of this recording, it is our hope that we may come into your homes proclaiming one shepherd, one God for all of us who are unafraid and united brothers and sisters, continuing the song of God's love and reminding you everywhere that you are the children of God, not alone, not lonely, relieved from guilt and oppression, secure in the knowledge that the one God is a God for everyone who believes and trusts in him.
I would love to tell you what I think of Jesus, since I found in him a friend so strong and true. I would tell you how he changed my life completely. He did something that no other friend could do. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. There was no other friend so kind as he. No one else could take the sin and darkness from me. Oh, how much he cared for me. All my life was full of sin when Jesus found me. All my heart was full of misery and woe. Jesus placed his strong and loving arms around me, and he led me in the way I ought to go. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. There's no other friend so kind as he. No one else could take the sin and darkness from me.
Lord, deep in our hearts, there is a strange and quenchable yearning for thyself. Our souls thirst for God, for the living God. What wretched orphans we would be in a world like this, separated from thee. How poverty-stricken apart from the riches of thy grace. In thee, our God, is infinite fullness of life. This is life eternal, to know thee and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. Forth from the measureless stores of life in thee, there flow into these needy lives of ours the enriching streams. The river of God is full of water, and we are invited to drink to the satisfying of our souls. We desire abundant life, our Lord, not for ourselves alone. We would not hold selfishly to the manifold gifts of God. We would share them generously with others. We want to be rich, that others may be rich. We would receive that we may give. We want others with us in the family of God, that they may enjoy the things that we enjoy. We especially pray for those who have special needs this day. Grant thy power of mercy and strength in each life. May they feel thy nearness and know assurance. May all of our lives be lighted by the word of God, our souls redeemed in the blood of the Lamb, and our characters builded into the loveliness and power of the Son of God. We trust through Christ our Lord. Amen.
About 2.5 years ago, Reverend Perry came to me and says he has a dream. He told me about the church he wanted to start. I said, you're crazy. But he had the faith and he had the vision. He had the dream that this would come true. And the dream is not fulfilled yet. This is barely the beginning.
Righteous Heavenly Father, we come to you this day, O Lord, thanking you, God, for your divine mercies and your goodness. Lord, we ask, O God, that you would look down upon this assembled group, that you would anoint us this Sunday in Metropolitan Community Church. We know, O Lord, that you can move and that you can help when no one else can or will. We ask, O Lord, move now. Let your power and your goodness flow upon us. In your holy and your precious name we pray. Amen and amen. I look back to October the 6th, 1968, and I ran into some of the people who were at that first service. And I said, what do you think? And they said, I can't get a seat. And I look back to that little group of Christians who met and prayed and believed that God could do a thing. It was something unusual and different that a group of persons would have to meet together just because of their sexual orientation. And yet, that's what it boiled down to. They were a group of people who felt like they were denied the rights of most Christians to even worship God. And as I always say, in that service, God moved. And when we got through, it wasn't a matter of having 12 or 1,200. We knew that the Spirit of the Lord had been in that service. And we started growing. And finally, we reached the grand number of 36, and we couldn't get them in the living room of my house anymore. And we said, we've got to find something. And you've heard the story, but I want to tell it again. We went to the women's club. They asked what kind of group we were, and we smiled, said we were a church group. We wanted to rent their facilities, and we were scared to death. Willie Smith went with me, and it was very charming to the ladies as we talked to them, and flattered one on the way her hair looked, and talked about another's dress. And when we got through, the women let us sign the lease for the building. And they said, okay, great, you can use it. And we started worshiping God there. We went from 36 to 40 to 45 to right around 50. And all at once, an article appeared in the Los Angeles Advocate. And when it did, and that was the move of God, too. I want to tell you something. God works in strange, strange ways sometimes. And we outgrew the bottom of the women's club and had to move to the top. We went to their upper room, and we finally started averaging around 200 upstairs in that building. When disaster struck, one day I went over to pick up my robes for a wedding, and the president of the women's club met me, and she said, I'd like to talk to you. She said, you people can't rent the building anymore. After the next 2 weeks are up, you're paid up to them, then that has to be it. And I said, why? She said, well, the janitor doesn't want to come in and work on Sundays. So I went upstairs and picked up my robes and walked back downstairs. I said, now tell me something, what's the real reason? And she said, well, that's the reason we're giving. And I said, all right, God bless you. Thank you. But you know, it was real strange. We were visited by some people who weren't really friendly to our community. Just about 4 weeks before that, they'd come down to look us over. A certain man was running for a certain public office here in Los Angeles. And I never tell you people who to vote for. But I preached when that man was running that if you voted for him, you'd almost die and go to hell, if you remember correctly. I didn't care who you voted for, but I just wanted to let you know how I felt about him. Most of you got the message and you voted against him and he lost. That was a victory for our community. Amen?
Amen.
All right. We moved, and we moved to another location, Embassy Auditorium in downtown Los Angeles. And we got to stay there for 1 month before one day some minister walked into the basement and wandered into the wrong room. Someone rose up in the back and said, I have a question I want to ask. And of course, when he asked this question, the man's mouth just fell open. As the young lady said, she just spoke up and said, as this type of individual, what would you say to me? And all at once, he started looking around. And I just saw this look cross this man's face, and it scared him to death. And he got up and he walked upstairs and says, do you know what kind of group they have worshiping down there? And the person looked at him and said, why, a Christian group, I guess. No, they can't be Christians. They're this, that, and the other. And that was terrible. And we were given a 2 weeks notice to move from there. And I was really broke up on that. And finally, one of our friends who was a member of the First Methodist Church went to them and said, look, here's a group of Christians that need a place to meet. Can they meet here? And they said, okay, for 1 week. So we started making announcements. You better stick with us because you're liable to show up next week and you won't know where we're at or whether we're worshiping. Sure enough, it happened. We got to stay in the Methodist Church for 2 weeks. They extended our tour. And from there, we went to the Encore Theater. Willie Smith, who was the projectionist there, walked in and asked Mr. Louis Frederici, who was the owner of the theater, said, look, we're a church group and we need a place to meet for about 4 or 5 weeks. He said, would you permit us to use your auditorium? And of course, we didn't stay there 4 or 5 weeks. We stayed there for over a year. And you know something? Louis Frederici never attended our church. He only arrived once. That was one day, the day that we honored him. And yet, he was a real Christian. He didn't charge us a bin of rent for that building. He didn't attend MCC. But he believed we were a group of people and he wanted to be compassionate and help out a little bit. That was being more Christian than some of the Christian groups had been. But you know, we overstayed our visit there and we started looking around. When I look back, it's almost comical at things that happened to this church. In Huntington Park, when we were young, one day someone came in and said, we have found the church. And I said, oh, where is it at? And they said, oh, it's over here. We went over to a certain area of town. It's right next to a junk pile. And I remember we went in and looked at this little church, and it would seat about 75 people. And we all got together, the board, and we tried to decide where to buy that church or not. And I remember we said, okay, here's what we'll do. We'll wait, we'll pray, and next week the Lord will let us know where to buy that church or not. The next week we had 90 in attendance, and that was God's answer. Amen. Amen. I want to tell you something. A building a church doesn't make. We've got a church building here. But I want to tell you, if we get so wrapped up in this building and unwrapped in God, we'll fail like so many other churches have. If we get to the point where we forget Him and we remember just ourselves and we put us on the pedestal and we say, look what we've done, and we forget it was God who did it for us, we'll fail. The day that we refuse to worship God and to serve Him and to look to Him as the author and finisher, we'll fail. But if we look to Him and we're the doorkeeper in the house of the Lord, we shall overcome. And we shall run the race with patience. And we shall see the end of this thing. Some people look at us and say, oh, we're here, this is it. But I want to tell you something, we've just begun. This is just the start, church. We're not going to give up and throw up our hands. We're not going to quit tomorrow. We're going to look to Jesus Christ, and we shall march forward victorious with Him. Amen. Sometimes we become complacent, and we think, oh goodness, look at us. We have 1,000 people here this morning at least. Look what we've done. We haven't done anything. To God be the glory forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.
Would you stand with me? Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning thanking you, God, for your divine mercies and your goodness. We're thankful, Lord, because we know without a shadow of a doubt that you have done this thing. It hasn't been Troy Perry. It hasn't been the board of directors. It hasn't been, oh Lord, just these mere mortals that are here. But it's been you, and to you we give the praise and the glory and the honor. We ask, oh God, anoint us now. Let us glory in thee. Heavenly Father, we'll be careful to give you the glory, the praise, and the honor for all that you do. In your holy and your precious name we pray. Amen.
the 46th chapter in the 9th verse, we read these words. Remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is none else. I am God, and there is none like me. In the Old Testament, we read many, many scriptures and verses about God. But one thing that we find about the God that we serve is he's the God of all mankind. There's only one God in the world today. Many, many times as we travel around America and we discuss our relationship with God with individuals and people, they talk to us about their God. Many cities in the South, when I talk to individuals, they talk about our God you all. But I have found that everywhere he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. In the Old Testament, I find a scripture that's very interesting. In Genesis, the first chapter in the 26th verse, and God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth on the earth. As I travel around America, I get many, many questions about Metropolitan Community Church and what this church teaches and believes, especially in the areas of God and the homosexual. How can God possibly love someone who is a homosexual? Reverend Perry, many, many people ask me and tell me, haven't you ever read the Bible? Don't you know what the Bible says? Many times I look at them and I say, yes, I do know what the Bible says. I know that God loves me, and it tells me that. I know that in the New Testament, once Jesus gave two great commandments. Those commandments were these. I was to love the Lord thy God with all of your heart, your mind, and your strength. And the second commandment is likened to the first. You're to love your neighbor as yourself. I remember when this church first started, we'd been in a meeting for about 8 months, when one day a woman who was a member of our church came to me all upset, and she said, something happened to me, and I want to tell you about it. And I said, what happened? She said, well, the other day some ministers came by my house, and they knocked on my door, and they came up. And she said, they started talking to me about church. And she said, I invited them into my home. I was tickled to death to have Christians come by and visit with me. And she said, when they came in, they asked me, did I attend church? And I said, yes, I do. And they said, where? And she said, Metropolitan Community Church. And they said, what kind of a church is that? And she said, well, it's a church that was started about 8 months ago. And she said, they're serving the homosexual community of Los Angeles. And she said, these ministers turned as white as sheets and says, what did you say? And she said, oh, yes. She said, our church is serving the need of the gay community of Los Angeles. And, of course, the minister said, my Lord, woman, don't you know that's wrong? She said, why, no. She said, our pastor's gay. And she said, oh, this seemed to upset them no end. And they said, he's going to die and carry you right along to hell with him. Said, that's horrible. She said, well, I've never really thought about it. And they started quoting her scriptures and telling her the horrible things of homosexuality according to their version of scripture. Her husband came home from work and found his wife upset as she related the story, called me and said, I'm going to punch somebody in the nose. And I said, oh, come on now. We can't do that. We're not going to act like them. Let's pray for them. Well, it wasn't much later than that. 2MCC was involved in its first political demonstration. And at that time, I got up in the pulpit and I said, everybody who wants to help us picket a certain company here in Los Angeles because they fired a homosexual, you meet us tomorrow uptown in Los Angeles. And of course, the next day, only 8 people showed up and we were all scared to death. None of us had ever been involved in a demonstration in our life. And we were all out in front of this big building. We wondered how we would be received by the workers when noon came around and they came out for lunch. And sure enough, it didn't take long. Immediately, with these big signs with the word homosexual on it, immediately at noon when everybody came out of the building, they came out and said, oh my goodness, the fairies that flew down from Hollywood. And we didn't know what to do. Well, they started dropping bags of water out of the top of the building. Didn't hit any of us, but kept wetting businessmen as they walked by in their suits. After we were there the second day, I was passing out leaflets, and I was dressed in my clerical garb as I am now. And as I was giving out leaflets, I noticed an individual coming up the street, and this woman, when she reached me, I said, "Here, madam, would you like one of our leaflets?" And she hit me with her purse. And like an idiot, I didn't stop. I said, "Madam, are you sure you don't want one of my leaflets?" So she hit me again. And she said, "If I had my way, all of you perverted individuals would be locked up into jail and the key thrown away." I said, "Madam, you know something? That's a wonderful Christian attitude you have." She said, "Do you know what the Old Testament says?" I said, "I sure do. It says it's a sin for a woman to wear a red dress, a man to wear cotton shirt and woolen pants together, to eat shrimp, oysters, or lobster, your steak too rare." She said, "That's not what I'm talking about." I said, "I know it's not. You're going to tell me that Moses didn't like homosexuals, and I'm going to agree. But he didn't like women wearing red dresses, men wearing cotton shirt and woolen pants, eating shrimp, oysters, or lobster, your steak too rare, and somehow the Christian church has forgotten all about that." She said, "Well," she said, "do you know what the Apostle Paul said?" I said, "I sure do. He said for women to be silent, not to speak." A woman's not supposed to teach or preach. This is what the Apostle Paul said. He said, a woman is not to worship authority over a male. He forbade the women to teach or preach. And I said, "Can you imagine what would happen to our churches today if we quoted the Apostle Paul? Our school systems would collapse. Our Sunday schools would collapse. Our mission fields would collapse. All because the Apostle Paul was anti-women's lib." And I said, "Not only that, he didn't like guys with long hair, women with short hair." He said, "Does not nature itself teach you that if a man hath long hair, it's a shame unto him? But if a woman hath long hair, it's her glory." I said, "Now, are we going to turn short-haired women away from the church doors or long-haired men just because Paul didn't like that?" And I said, "Not only that, once he met a slave, converted him to Christianity, made him a happy Christian slave, whatever that is, but he didn't try to get him to Canada via the Underground Railroad. He sent him back to his master, still a slave." And I said, "In 1845, the Southern Baptist Convention quoted the Apostle Paul. Is there a reason for splitting with their parent organization and breaking off the Civil War, starting all in the name of the Apostle Paul, saying they could own another human being, yet no Christian church today would take that as an argument?" She said, "That's still not what I mean." I said, "I know it's not. You're going to tell me in Romans 1, 26 through 28, and 1 Corinthians 6 and 9, and in 1 Timothy that Paul didn't like homosexuals, and I'm going to agree he didn't, but he didn't like women, he didn't like long-haired guys or short-haired women, he didn't care about slave one way or the other, and yet the Christian church here again has conveniently forgotten about that." And I said, "I'm not saved by the blood of Paul, and I'm not saved by the blood of Moses, I'm saved by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ." She said, "All right, smarty, what about Jesus?" I said, "Oh, there's a weirdie." I said, "If Christ lived in this day and age, you people would automatically label him a homosexual." Now, I don't think Christ was a homosexual, and I don't want to be misquoted on this. I said, "But according to Scripture, he was raised by a mother without a father. Typical homosexual syndrome, according to so many psychiatrists. He never married, and he ran around with 12 guys all the time." And I said, "He wasn't above having physical bodily contact with another male. John the Beloved lay on the breast of Jesus at the Last Supper." And I said, "He was betrayed by a kiss from another guy. Doesn't that make you want to regurgitate?" I said, "Jesus never once said, 'Come unto me, all ye heterosexuals who have sex in the missionary position with a member of the opposite sex, and you can become my true believer.' But Jesus said, 'Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest.'" And I said, "That's the doctrine of Metropolitan Community Church. I want to tell you something, my brothers and sisters. There's just one God. One God that black, white, Chicano, straight or gay can serve and know that he cares. There's one way to him, and that's through Calvary. That's through coming to him as Lord and Savior and asking forgiveness of your sins. If you come and you do that and you find him as Lord and Savior, everything's going to be all right. Jesus is the hope of the world."
Soft as the voice of an angel. fasten on her. Hope with a gentle persuasion whispers a comforting word. Wait till the darkness is over. Wait till the tempest is done. Hope for the sunshine tomorrow after the shower is gone. Whispering hope, oh how welcome thy voice, making my heart in its sorrow rejoice. If in the dusk of the twilight dim be the regions afar, will not the deepening darkness brighten the glimmering star? Then when the night is upon us, why should the heart sink away? When the dark midnight is over, watch for the breaking of day.
Praise the Lord. Let me finish this sermon. Y'all just stop for a minute. Now, let me tell you something. My God can do anything but fail. There are people sometimes, people often wonder why this church, why Metropolitan Community Church, even in the gay community sometimes, as I travel around, there are people who try to tell me that, you know, we're a separatist group, that we shouldn't do this, we shouldn't do that, we shouldn't try to gather ourselves together, that they're very anti-church, period. And when you start talking about, even in our own community sometimes, God loving a homosexual, they don't want that to be true because they want the lie perpetrated and believed too, that there's no God. But my God's alive today. I want to tell you that, members of the gay community too. People sometimes say, Perry, why? I want to tell you why. It's because of the telephone calls we receive each week in this church. It's because of over 100 phone calls in the mornings that we receive. When I say the mornings, from the time my mother gets here, picking up the telephone, till we go home in the afternoon, and then the other 100 or so phone calls CIC receives at night. We're receiving in this church about 200 phone calls a day from people who have problems, or people who need information, or people who need something. And that something is the Lord Jesus Christ. Why do we do it? Because I pick up the papers, I notice that the suicide in this city hasn't diminished very much. and that a large portion of the suicides in this city and other cities across America are by young men and women who one day woke up and realized they were gay, and somewhere along the way, some individual who didn't really know anything at all about God, claimed to know the power but didn't, and reached down to that young person and told them that they were hated above all things. I want to let you know that's a lie of the devil. God loves you if you love him. But people say, why? Why do you people, you butt your head against the walls. Everybody hates you. Don't you realize that? And I say, no, everybody doesn't hate us. The one that counts doesn't. And that's my God that I serve and that you serve. That's the one that I live for daily. There are many times you get discouraged. I get phone calls from some of you. And you say, you know, Reverend Perry, the way gets rough. And I know. I'm out in the world too. Not only do I talk to people about their souls, but sometimes I'm out talking about our freedom with politicians, and it can get discouraging. You know, you go and you get discouraged sometimes, they said, and they look at you like you're a madman. And they talk to you, and you got a selling job to do. But you know, when you know you got God on your side, you can sell. I want to tell you that. You can become a super salesman. And that's just the way I feel. I feel like my God can do anything but fail. God has never, never failed us. Never. When I hear these testimonies of our brothers and sisters, the sister who testified about her car turning around on the freeway, that's a miracle. Anybody who drives these freeways knows that's a miracle. Amen. Amen. When I hear our sister talking about her son that she hasn't seen in 15 years, and all at once she's going to get back together with him, that's a miracle. That's what this is all about. I look sometimes at the persecution some of you have had to suffer. When I talk to my friends who are psychiatrists and sociologists and whatever elseologists, and they tell me, you know, some of your people are neurotics, I look at them and say, I wonder why. I just wonder why. If you had to live every existence, 24 hours a day of your life, being told by almost the complete society around that you're sick, that you're perverted, that you should be placed in some home for the mentally ill, that you're sinful, and by virtue of our existence in L.A. by Chief Davis, we're criminal. No wonder some of our people are neurotic. And I said, you know something? You've got a lot of people, too, that are neurotic. And I said, I wonder about them sometimes, too. And I said, you know why your people are neurotic? I said, it's because of the phoniness they have to put up with in their life. I said, at least in my community. At least in my community, I don't have to be hypocritical. I can come to this church, I can meet you people, and 15 minutes later, you can honestly be friends. And you know why? We've ceased to be a community and metropolitan community church. We've become a family. Amen? Amen? And that's what it's all about. Amen.
We shall overcome. We shall overcome. We shall overcome someday. Oh, deep in my heart, I do believe.
so happy we can share this service of Metropolitan Community Church in Los Angeles with all of you who are listening to this record across the United States and around the world. God loves you and has a place for you in our ministry. If you have never attended one of our services, we'd like to have you join with us. We have 24 churches and missions across the country, from Honolulu to New York, Milwaukee to Miami Beach. Won't you join us? Whoever you are, wherever you are, whatever you are, God loves you. He gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believe in him shall not perish, but shall have everlasting life. God has not forgotten you. If you have a problem, or if you want more information about our church, I would like to hear from you. Write to me, Reverend Troy Perry, Metropolitan Community Church, Los Angeles, California, 90007. I just want to say this as we leave you. We love you. God loves you. And may the Lord bless you real, real good.
The paths winding their way to one God.